We're sort of in between a lot of meetings at the moment, but we can ask about, there's been a lot of civil defence planning going on in the background, and we were waiting for you to have room in your schedule for some community action on this one.
That,
I say community
exactly right.
Action for want of a better phrase, but you might have a better phrase.
Well, it's community engagement, one would say, once we've got our plan finalised, which we are almost there. And it's myself, Dennis Amore and Ross Wallace, who on behalf of the Raglan Community Board, sort of coordinating our civil defence plan with our council staff, particularly Scott Build, who is the expert in community plans around civil defence, which is great. So we're just putting the last tweaks on into our plan. So we have information about the schools, about specific sites in the community that we could set up a community response should it be needed, all of those sorts of stuff. So we're not too far away on getting that signed off, so then we can go out on our next steps to have the community and call out for people who would be interested in being involved in the civil defence. And we've already got people who are really keen to be part of that, which is great, because with anything in a community, it takes a community to actually resource when things happen. Whether they're a weather event, whether they are an earthquake, or whatever it might be, that puts us at risk and vulnerable. So we're well underway with that. That's really all I can say on that at this point in time. So watch the space closely, because we're not far away from going out to the community with the plan. And I have to say that we're really lucky that we've got resource in council that can support us to roll that out. And, you know, Bob McLeod was such a passionate advocate for the civil defence planning, and it's been a while in the making. We've had a little bit of a hiatus when we haven't had much happening, but rest assured it's happening in the background, and we'll be coming out to the community, as I said, to seek interest and enthusiastic people to be involved.
So we're also hoping to have an internal bus service in some form available before summer. Well, we have been hoping, but we're waiting on regional council staff to do stuff, and that's not even – so that's not your council, because you're
the district
council.
It's a combination. Yeah, it's a combination, because it was funded through our general rates through Waikato District Council. So it's a collaboration between district council and regional council, and the community board has been involved in that. To be honest, I don't know where we're at with it.
So
is my short answer.
Yeah, last time it was in the regional council's hands, so
– yeah. Yeah, so I'm not aware of where we're at with that.
I need to ask a regional councillor about that one.
Or the community board. Could ask the community board as well.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about where John Hart's garage has been demolished, about plans for the future there. Like, who there's a treaty claim on that land, so who administered, currently administered by council?
It is. That's all what
so
they call the...
I realise I've just asked what is going to be a very complicated question.
It's the Harbour Board endowment area that council oversee, and that is from the early days of council, you know, from when it was Raglan County Council. So those are the leasehold areas. And our strategic property team are looking at that area in its entirety, actually, about what could be there.
So the entirety means that, like, that block?
That block, which is includes the house that's currently there, that's revealed more so now that John Hart's garage has been demolished. And then, of course, there is where the old villa is on Weneta Street, so... you know, that block
back
in its entirety.
Up to, does it include the police station? Or?
And then the police station.
Okay.
So it's all of that area there. So I'm not involved in discussions with any hapu groups, but I know that our strategic property team has been. And so I don't know what has come out of those discussions, so I'm not involved in them.
A collaborative
It is collaborative
decision
for
that
sure.
will be made.
Yeah, and looking at How do we utilise that space for the benefit of the community, actually? And I know that many eyes are on that space. I've certainly been contacted by a number of people with a desire to utilise it, whether it's for car parking or food trucks or whatever. But I actually advise staff not to rush into anything, that we need to think about that space in a wider view, so it's not an ad hoc response to down there, because it is, in a way, that area is a real jewel and can be something that is of benefit to our community.
It's kind of a prime spot.
It is, and that's why I think loads of people have an interest in it. You know, there are, well, there are no other spots like that in the CBD area of Raglan. So we need to be really thoughtful about what the next steps are that area. So rest assured, it's not an ad hoc happening. It's been well considered.
Another question that's not in your hands, but you can just tell us if you've heard anything officially, is about CCTV cameras being installed in the community.
Interestingly enough, it came up in our infrastructure meeting yesterday about the CCTV cameras. So what we're currently doing, we've got the funding through the Better Off Fund for communities like Raglan, Huntly, Tamahere and some other communities within the district. So we're looking at how those are managed, and Hamilton City Council have a really robust system where their cameras are managed and they are operated and overseen 24 hours of the day.
So there's some central office.
Yeah, central office, and they've got immediate response there. Apparently their their system is fantastic. So looking at how we can work with them to have our centralised, when we get our CCTV cameras in, working out how that can be operated from that centre there. Because obviously, you know, the local police stations within those communities of Raglan, Huntly, Ngārua Wahia, Tamahere, and that don't have the capacity to have that ability to have the oversight.
Well, they're not staffed full time. So,
yeah, and these are staffed full time.
And even if they were staffed full time, they still wouldn't be.
They're not watching them.
They wouldn't be in there all the time.
Yeah, they're not watching them.
Yeah, they'd be out and about.
So. Yeah, and so apparently they can, even if they see dodgy behaviour. And of course, it depends on where your cameras are. You can't have cameras everywhere. So in Raglan, they'll be in key places. I don't know where those key places are. No, the police have put in where they feel they would be best placed.
I think we know there'll be a number plate detecting one out at Tiuku.
So
but that's the only.
We have to work out that relationship with our council and Hamilton. And then, of course, the installation of the cameras. So I know I'm even getting sick of saying that. It's imminent when they'll be put in, but I can't give you a time frame.
Okay, all righty. You are chair of the Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee. Did I get that right?
Aside from tripping
over the words, was I actually going for the right words? I think that was my question. So this has been going for a year now, and it always takes time with council to set things up and get things running. How do you feel it's going now?
We're still tweaking it. We've only had how many committee meetings? I think we've only had three.
Okay.
Four committee meetings. I really love it because it's all about the community initiatives. So it's from our blueprinting, which we went out to engage with the communities, including Raglan, you know, back in 2018, I think it was 2018, 2019. It includes our funding. So, you know, with Leanne Vandenbim, who our community are really familiar with, community-led development, and with the blueprinting as well, there's a blueprinting budget that community, if it's on our blueprints, can actually access through Leanne's team. So we get reports on that. It's also our climate strategy, and we've yet to have an update from Rachel Goddard, who's our climate specialist, and she also lives in Raglan.
Mm, yep.
And so it's all those front-facing actions within council and out in the community. So I feel really connected with that because that's where my heart is, actually enabling communities. And also what sits under there is our civil defence, and so staff report back to us. And part okay. of that as well is the – we've been really lucky. We've got Gannon Ormsby, who is contracted to council for a year to look at the marae resilience planning for civil defence. And so he presented a report on that to the sustainability and wellbeing. And they've got a marae that we are working with in the district as a trial on what that relationship between council and our local marae look like for our resilience planning. So that's a neat strategy that we've got going forward. So it's all of those things that sit under the sustainability and wellbeing. At last week's hui as well, we had earlier on in the year engaged with community boards and community committees across the district about their blueprints that we had engaged with, and asked them to review and look at what was still current and what wasn't. So, you know, the community board here did that. So that allows us to keep projects or not. Are they still relevant? So we had that come to us last week, and there was a lot of discussion actually around the blueprinting, more so than I'd anticipated from fellow councillors, because there are communities that didn't have a blueprint. But they've right. got community plans and they have bigger aspirations. And we had the Matangi community come in, and they had a fantastic – was it Matangi? Actually, I think I've got that wrong. I've got a blank, but I can
another
clarify.
Community
another
we
community
we
who are
rural.
Highly engaged. And if Mike Keir is listening, he'll know exactly which community because it's one of his. He's my fellow councillor. But they came in with a fantastic set of blueprints that they wanted. And of course, so...
Right, so they're like, we've done the work, you just put it in the system.
Yeah, but so there was a lot of discussion about should that be a blueprint or should that remain as a community plan. And so we decided that it would be a community plan because we need a process in place to have consistency across the district for each community to participate. And what does that look like? What implications does that have on staff time and the expectations from our communities? But it was great. We had fantastic discussions amongst fellow councillors. And yeah, those communities who came up with what their priorities are was really great to see.
Mm.
Yeah, so lots
what
of discussion.
Just off the top of your head, some priorities for our community, just so to make things a little bit more concrete. And, bearing in mind, these are not, if something's in a blueprint, it doesn't mean it's going to happen today or tomorrow or even next year. But,
yeah, and
but
it's
it is a priority.
identifying a what you know council can support or what is actually the community can do or what's a collaboration. Probably one of the things for our community was a community space and a youth hub. You know, so there are a number of things, you know, looking at the wider picture for sports development as well,
yeah.
Where that will be. So so those are the ones off the top of my head, looking at the community. Can't remember the rest, actually. Sorry.
It's quite long, and I don't remember any of it. Probably there was something about a swimming pool, I'm guessing, because there's always been a desire for a swimming pool.
There's always been a desire for a swimming pool, but I'm not sure if it's on the blueprints, to be honest.
Mm. Well, let's segue from that, because I do want to ask about that. Are you still involved with the school?
I am involved.
The pool there is in need of some TLC. Has there been any progress? I just saw that there was a Facebook post about it a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Has there been any progress?
Well, that Facebook post actually from David Duffin, from who's the chair of the Board of Trustees, is just updating the community that we've pulled out the pool liner that the Raglan Swimming Club had fundraised for a number of years ago, but it got damaged. And, you know, before we put in the pool liner, we'd looked at a number of options, you know, to resurface the pool, you know, all of those sorts of things. But we couldn't afford those options, so we thought the pool liner would be a good alternative. And whilst it was in, it actually worked really well, and that's when we had, you know, the swing lessons and so on that were really popular. And then the pool liner got damaged.
Well, it was not a substantial thing, so yeah. Which is how it got to be the cheaper option, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And so Liam, one of the teachers up at school, and TJ, another teacher, with David Duffin, actually went and pulled out the pool liner to look at the condition of the pool, because you know that the pool's been there for over half a century. So I think it was 1950 that it was built, if anyone out there could correct me, but I believe that's when it is. So it's an old pool. So looking at some of the options from fiberglassing the bottom, but that won't happen before the end of the school year. Obviously there's a process in place and there's a cost associated to it. And the Ministry of Education don't cover pools. So,
Did they used
the
to?
Budget. They must have at some.
Every school had a pool,
but it's not a priority now. So that isn't part of the Ministry of Education.
You'd think it would be in funding. A place by the sea.
But perhaps people might think that you learn to swim in the sea as opposed to in a swimming pool. So
it's usually the Education Department thinks people learn.
But
things
there are more.
By going to school.
There are less schools with swimming pools or usable swimming pools, you know, which is sad.
Yeah.
So we have to do some costing and obviously go out and do some fundraising. So the desire for the school and the board is to have the pool up and running for next year. And I believe that Dave, our board chair, met with the Parent Teacher Association yesterday afternoon. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because I had the Camp Governance Board hui at the same time. So, yep, again, watch the space. But basically the Facebook update that Dave put out last week is the absolute up-to-date until
okay.
I don't know what the hui was, the outcomes from last night.
But we might see something from Dave again
yeah,
on that.
Okay, exactly.
All right. And still on pools, I know this is not a council-led thing, the potential for a pool at Rangatahi. I'm not using you as my reporter, if you know anything.
No, I'm not involved in that, although Sam Laity does keep me up to date, but I haven't had a recent
Who's
update.
Sam?
Sam from Rangitahi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And
okay.
He's always really great at communicating, but I haven't caught up with him for a while, so I'm not involved in that
okay.
project.
No news for there. But you're at the
not
camp,
from me, anyway.
The camp board meeting. Camp board meeting yesterday, and you said to me before you came on the air that dealing with flooding over there.
Yeah.
And I had thought that it had been dealt with. So is it complicated over there?
It is really complicated over there. And so we've got our capital works program, you know, that's scheduled in. And part of that is our stormwater. And it's a complicated situation over at the camp because, as you can well imagine, with infrastructure that was put in many years ago, it can be a bit higgledy-piggledy. So finding out that higgledy-piggledy stuff has been a work in progress, but we've now got what we call a project manager from council who's working with Leanne, the camp manager, with the stormwater upgrades, which we have programmed in, and finally getting a plan of where all of that underground infrastructure is, how we can mitigate with the flooding, the stormwater pipes, they weren't big enough. So an upgrade in those, the manhole that the water goes into, and our pumping ability to, help alleviate when there is a lot of rain. And it'd probably be quite good to invite Leanne, the camp manager, and maybe even the project manager in to talk about camp, because it is such an important part of Raglan, and some of the initiatives that they're doing there. So, it's a whole body of works, not only just the stormwater, but it's the upgrading of the kitchen at the camp, and they're upgrading the units that are over there. So there's always a lot of things going on. And we've got a lot, all the people who work at the camp are all locals, which is awesome. And we actually just said farewell to Harry and Teresa after their long service to
Harry's camp. Harry's had moving over to the Bay of Plenty because he's a DJ here to look after
family. So it was sad. So. You know, to farewell them, and we wish them well. So, you know, those two, they've been, I think they were with the camp for 10 years plus, actually. So long-serving members of the community over at the camp.
Well, we hope Harry and his whānau will be back one day too.
We hope so, too. Yeah.
Although he's still going to do his show on the radio if we can get the technology working. We tried to do it yesterday. I don't know, something went wrong. Anyway, we can do things remotely, so.
Yeah, so
we might still hear him anyway, even if he's not here.
Yeah.
Although he keeps turning up. In the last few weeks, he's back and forth a lot. Now, what else? There was two community board meetings ago. There was a message to the board from staff that there were only two staff members in the roading department, and that it was completely overwhelmed and not to go to them unless it was something that was basically an emergency. I just wanted to hear if, and it's not your job, but. Have they found more staff?
They have found more staff.
Yes.
Yep. In fact,
that's the main thing we want to do.
Yeah. They have found more staff, and it's always tricky, isn't it? To find the appropriate staff, we've got currently our roading manager is Luke McCarthy, and he was in our infrastructure hui yesterday. And of course, we've got
Isn't he? I don't know that name.
No, he's not new.
He's not new. I just don't know his name.
Yeah, okay. He has done contracting work for us.
Okay.
And, you know, Jeanette, who worked on Places for People and that. So she's is in supporting staff as a contractor, but we do have our staff in our roading team, which is great, and they're getting on with the mahi. We had a really cool presentation yesterday from our Waikato District Alliance team, where we have our Waikato District Council staff working in the team as well. So they've got a really neat cadetship going through their organisation. So they've got students from Ngāre Wā Wāhia and Huntly learning the ropes on the roading team. They have what they call the Wahine Tour crew. So it's all women out on their roading team.
Okay.
It was pretty neat, actually.
It's a different vibe on the building site when it's all women.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all right. Well, that's all good.
That's about it, actually. I wish I had more to report on.
The wharf is just work's happening at the wharf now.
Yep.
I've been past, so that's you haven't heard that it's delayed or anything like that?
No. We might be.
It's probably too early to know if there's a delay because they've just started.
Probably the only things that will be delayed are the information boards and the Pā Kahawai by Simon, those sorts of things. But they'll be delayed, but the works are continuing to go on around the wharf.
Is the intention to hopefully have it ready for Christmas?
The Western Walkway will be ready for Christmas, is my understanding.
Right,
actually.
That's the plan.
But Dennis is, you know, he's our main coordinator.
I know, I just haven't spoken to him for a little while.
Get Dennis in because he's right up to play with all of the happenings around the wharf. So he's your best man to speak to.
I know, having worked in the building industry, the phrase "get it done by Christmas" strikes fear into the hearts of most people.
But they're doing a great job.
There's always pressure around that time of year.
Yeah, but, you know, we've got some... Richard, who's a local, working on that, and then we've got Niall, who's one of our council staff. They're doing a fantastic job, you know, managing that project and keeping us up to date with what's going on. So they're doing a great job.
And can we remind people where the funding for that came from?
It came from the Provincial Growth Fund and also the Better Off funding that came out. From central government. So we took advantage of the opportunities, you know, to fund that project. So it's a feather in the cap for Raglan that we have managed to attract all of that funding, as well as you know, the Town to Surf walkway was just under $1 million worth of tourism infrastructure funding that we successfully got. On an update on that, you would have seen if you're walking along Wainui Road on the corner of Wainui Road and Marine Parade, there's the seat being put in there, and then there's another one being that has been put in at Karikari and Wainui Road. And I had the great opportunity to meet up with Kate Haywood, who was one of the main coordinators for the original Town to Surf footpath. I met with her last week, actually.
Okay, yep.
And she, with other people in Raglan who were involved in that project, have come up with the information to go on the information boards that will sit beside that seating, and that will immortalise those people who contributed to the original footpath.
Yep.
Whereas, as you know, we were unable to keep the concrete and the names that were originally put in there because of the mix. They were very brittle, so cutting them, you know, they just didn't...
They fell apart.
Yeah. So Kate has done a phenomenal amount of work getting a whole spreadsheet of all of the names of the people who were involved.
Yeah.
So the plan is to put that onto the information board with a story of what it was about. So that's really neat. She's done all of that work. So we've got one information board that will probably go on the Marine Parade Wainui Road by that seat there, so the community can learn about that. And then there'll be a smaller information board at the other seat. So that reminds me, I've got to get on to doing that. So that's yet to come. So that's awesome.
Okay. But the actual walkway, that's complete now, is it?
That's complete.
All the way, yep. So you can start in town, walk all the way out into Wainui Reserve.
Well, effectively, you could walk from Greenslade Road, from the end of Greenslade Road,
oh, yes. Okay.
Where the new footpath is, right through and go on to another footpath. And if you go through, you could either go down Government Road and along Wallace Street, and then you can cross over to Papahua and go on to the footpath that's been upgraded there and join the Town to Surf footpath, or you could go from town and walk right through to Wainui Bush Park, and then through the bush park, obviously, onto the beach.
Okay. Folks, we've been talking to our councillor, Lisa Thompson. Lisa, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Aaron.
And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thank you.